Tonight I'll be preaching on the Christian walk. I'd like you to open your Bibles now to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read a good number of verses from different chapters. Shall we all stand as we open to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and in verse 17. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. This I say therefore, verse 17, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. In Ephesians chapter 2, you would notice in these three verses we have read, you see the words walk. First, so the words walk worthy of the vocation. Then second, walk not as other Gentiles walk. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2, it says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Yung verse 8, napaka-simple ng ibig sabihin niya. Nung araw, kayo hindi ligtas. Nung araw, kayo nasa kadiliman. Pero ngayon, nasa liwanag na kayo ng Panginoon. Therefore, sabi niya, kung nasa liwanag na kayo, dapat lamang na lumakad tayo bilang mga anak ng liwanag. Walk as children of light. Verse 15, see then yet that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 15. Walk circumspectly. Now, how many walk have you counted? 6. Am I right? What's the first? Walk worthy of the vocation. What's the second? Walk not as other Gentiles walk. I'd like you to look in verse 17 here of Ephesians chapter 4. Yung walk not as other Gentiles walk. Sino yung mga Gentiles? Tayo. Alright? Bakit kinalify ni Apostle po na Gentiles? Because the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What? Ang mga Gentiles, kaiba ng mga Hudyo that had the value of the Old Testament, walk in pleasure. Yung sinabi ng Bible na they walk in pleasure while alive. And when you walk in pleasure and you walk in worldliness, you are dead already while you're still alive. Yun ang mga Gentiles. Na ang kanilang paningin, ang kanilang buhay, ang kanilang kaisipan ay kumita ako, gagamitin ko yung kita ko sa kamunduhan, bibili ako ng mga bagay na gusto ko. They're vain. Kaya nakalagay, in the vanity of their mind. They're vain. Alright? And if you're not careful, you will spend all your money in vanity. Very vain. Okay? Saan nauso yung mga cosmetology and makeup? That's Gentiles. Spa, that's Gentiles. Facial, that's Gentiles. It's vain. They beautify the outside. That's Gentile. But not the inside. It's vain. See? And that is what vanity means. You know, you spend your life, you spend your all, you spend your resources to look vain. V-A-I-N. Walang kabuluhan. Vain. Plastic. There's no reality in it. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng don't walk like what other Gentiles walk. Now, I'm not saying that it is bad to wear makeup. It is bad to go on a facial once in a while. I do that. I don't wear makeup, but I go to facial once in a while when I get so tired and my face gets so rugged and haggard, you know. Or, of course, I need a haircut right now and things like this. Pero ito yung buhay ng Gentiles eh. Wala na sila ibang buhay kundi yun eh. Sila'y kumikita para igastusin sa pagkain, sa fashion. At alam nyo, meron tayong ganyan dito na mga kabataan na walang nautunan kahit na sa fashion. They have not learned from the Word of God. And they still want to go on to the world. Hindi naman nakikita ng mga members, hindi naman nakikita ng pastor, hindi naman nakikita ng Kristiyano. But they begin to forget that the Lord sees everything. Nakikita ng Panginoon lahat yan. Pwede mo itago yan sa iba, pero nakikita ng Panginoon sa lahat yan. Yun ang sinasabi ng Bible, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And then, we should walk in them. Ang pangatlo, di ba? Alagay. Walk in what? Walk in good works. I mean, our life must be ruled by the good works that we do each day. Then, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, walk in love. See, walk in love. As opposed to hatred. Walk in love. And then verse number 8, walk as children of light. You see, in a crooked world and in a darkened generation. Then in verse 15, walk circumspectly. Be careful in how you walk. Kaya nga nakalagay, not as fools, but as wise. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word, Lord. Help us to know it. Help us by your grace to do it in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. After a person becomes a believer, he must learn how to walk. A newborn baby, later on, would try to stand up and would try to walk. He must learn how to walk. A person does not walk to become a Christian because walking implies effort. Walking implies action upon the person. And we do not become a Christian by walking. In fact, Christianity begins with sitting. In Ephesians 2:6, it says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We were made to sit together. I'd like you to understand these words. Christianity begins with sitting. When we say this, we mean a person who wants to enter into Christ must rest in Christ. It means that it was the Lord Jesus who did everything for a person to be a Christian. We did not apply any effort to be saved. It was Christ who did it. I always say that Christianity is a big done, not a big do. It means that You can only be a Christian because of what Christ did on the cross, not what you and I can do. To be a Christian, ito, gusto kong unawain nyo. At dito nyo makikita ang standard ng Christianity. Ang tunay na anak ng Diyos ay hindi naligtas dahilan sa kanyang ginawa o dahilan sa kanyang ginagawa. Siya'y naligtas dahilan sa ginawa ng Panginoong Jesus sa krus ng Kalbaryo. Ang kanyang kamatayan, ang pagkabuhos sa kanyang dugo, at ang kanyang pagkabuhay na maguli. Iyan ang katunayan ng bagiging Kristiyano. At ang ginawa lamang natin upang tayo maligtas ay tanggapin ang ginawa ni Kristo para sa atin sa krus ng Kalbaryo. Hindi tayo gumawa, hindi tayo nag-exert ng effort para maligtas, kundi ang lahat ng gumawa ng ating kaligtasan ay walang iba kundi ang ating Panginoon. Naunawaan niyo ba ito? Ngayon, hindi lamang yan. Iyon ang ibig sabihin ng resting in Christ. Ika'y naligtas. Panginoon, ako'y makasalanan. Wala akong magagawa sa akin sarili. And Lord, I am giving myself to you and save my soul. And I accept you in my heart as my Savior. You rested in Christ. Alright? Pero meron ding ibang mga Kristiyano, and most of this ay tinatawag natin mga Protestants, na kanilang paniniwala ay ito. Although, ikaw ay dapat manampalataya, pero kinakailangan gumawa ka rin para maligtas. So it becomes a cooperative effort between God and you. Alright? Although, God wants to save you, but you must also do something. Okay? That's a cooperative effort for God to save you. So, if you continue on working for the good of yourself, then you can say that one day I will be saved. Alright? Now, yan ang paniwala ng mga mainline Protestant churches. Ngayon, ano ang paniwala ng mga nagsulputan nung araw? Okay, about 40 years ago, nagsulputan ang Pentecostalism. 40, 50 years ago. Anong paniwala niya? Most of them. They're just changing now, okay? But that was the belief of Jimmy Swaggart. That was the belief of old mainline Pentecostals. Ang kanilang paniwala, iba naman sa Protestante. Ang kanilang paniwala, okay, you are saved by faith, you are saved by receiving Christ. But you ought to be careful in how you walk because you might lose. You know what I mean? You might lose. So very careful sila ngayon lumakad, you might lose. When you lose your salvation, then you've got to be born again all over. But you've got to watch out every time because you might lose. So that every time you live, each day you live in fear of losing. Not in love for living for the Lord, but in fear of losing what you have received. We Baptists are not like that. It's not a Baptist doctrine, it is Bible doctrine. That when we came to know Christ and repented and trusted Christ as our Savior, alright, we entered into Christ by resting in Christ. Therefore, we begin the Christian life by depending not upon our own doing or what we can do, but on what He has done. Now, that's why we're so, you know, we're so emphatic about eternal security of the believer. See, when I preach about soul winning, in the first Franklin Graham Festival meeting, all of them are supposed to be Christians. All of them are supposed to be pastors and supposed to be soul winners and Bible women and everything. And I preach about salvation and eternal security. Some people came forward, pastors came forward to be saved, because they did not understand the meaning of sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Inimbitahan ako sa India. At ako'y nag-preach sa India. Ng mga Indian pastors, mga pastor galing sa India, mga pastor galing sa Nepal, mga pastor galing sa Burma, mga 300 ng mga pastor. Iba ay mga asawa ng pastor. And the impression of God is heavily on my mind. I should preach about salvation. I said, why, Lord? Why? I was actually arguing, why should I preach about salvation? I was the first speaker that night. When I am speaking to a group of pastors and workers in many churches, not Baptist churches, but in many evangelical and Pentecostal and charismatic churches, and why should I preach about salvation? Nevertheless, of course, the Holy Spirit prevailed. Now I preach about salvation. And more than 30 pastors and preachers' wives came forward to be saved. Apparently, they did not understand the real meaning of Christianity. And maybe tonight you're like that. See? May us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I know, in-explain ko sa inyo ang kaibahan natin sa mga ibang nagsasabing evangelicals. May mga pagkakaiba yan. You see, if you are wrong in the doctrine of salvation, you will be wrong in many things. If you are wrong in baptism, you will be wrong in many things. If you are wrong in prophecy, you will be wrong in many things. That's why we ought to be careful in the church we go to. We ought to be careful in the preachers we listen to. You see? Why? Because you can be listening to a man of God, supposedly, that holds the Bible, and preach. Archie Kibuloy preaches salvation as if he's really saved. But he does not believe in Trinity of God. He is a Unitarian. You see? That there is not such a thing as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, I find it very awkward to know Christ as my Savior and do not believe in the Trinity of God. See? Now, Archie Giriba is a priest, a Catholic priest. He preaches salvation as if he knows he's saved. I mean, you listen to him preach. Pag pinagingan niyo yung si Giriba mag-preach, aakalain mong siya ay saved. At baka maniwala kang saved siya. Sapagkat nandun lahat ang ingredient ng salvation. Pero mahirap paniwalaan ng taong ligtas na lumuluhod sa imahen at dumadalangin sa mga idols. Mahirap paniwalaan yan. You see? Because the Bible, if you are saved, you have been delivered from idolatry. Yun ang sinasabi sa Corinthians that you ought to be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And the word unclean there is idolatry. See? Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. Just imagine. Future tense. Do you understand that? That you have been saved already, but then Christ is still saying, I will receive you. I don't want to understand that yet. But it's hard. You see? Akala natin siguro napakadaling maunawaan ng soteriology. Or the doctrine of salvation. No, it's not that easy. So, okay na. Hindi ibig sabihin na kinakailan mo unawaan mo lahat siya para ka maligtas. Because salvation is a very simple thing. Yet as you grow older in your Christian life, God will make you to understand from His Word. And because you truly got saved, you will understand God's Word and you will trust the Lord more. Your faith will be strengthened. You see? So, we now can say, I can do nothing to save myself. I have done nothing to save myself. But by His grace, kanina, ating inawit yung grace, di ba? Anong ibig sabihin ng grace? The unmerited favor of God. By His grace, God has done everything for me in Christ. So, hindi mo na kinakailangang maglakad o tumakbo at magsabing, kinakailangang gawin ko ito, kinakailangang maghanap ko ito, kinakailangan talagang gawin ko para ako'y nagpapatuloy na ligtas. Wrong doctrine. O, kinakailangan maging careful ako. Iba to eh. Iba yun eh. Iba yung paniniwala ng Mainland Protestant eh. O paniniwala nung nagsimulang Pentecostalism sa mundo. Okay. Yung Protestant eh. Okay. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I put my faith upon you. Pero katulad ng mga Kristiyano sa Galatians. And please take note. Galatians. The book of Galatians is written to that effect. The book, the Galatian Christians is just like us. It's a Baptist church during that time. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was started by the Apostle Paul. Pero anong sabi ni Apostle Paul sa kanila? Ibig niyong sabihin, magsisimula kayo ng pananampalataya, tatapusin niyo sa gawa. That is the Galatian dilemma. The Galatian doctrine. Ang sabi ng mga taga-Galatians, na katulad ng mga Protestante ngayon, kinakailangan ako tumakbo, kinakailangan gumawa ako mabilis, kinakailangan gawin ko ito, gawin ko yan, kinakailangan para magpatuloy akong ligtas. Iba naman yung Pentecostalism. Okay? Parang naninimbang, parang ka nasa isang tulay na very careful pa, kinakailangan ako mag-ganito, pag hindi, baka mahulog ako. You see? You know what I'm saying? Now, tayong mga Baptists, we look into the Word of God and say, Lord, I am trusting you as my Savior. I'm putting my faith upon you alone. I'm resting in what Jesus did for me. That's faith. That's faith right there. And the Bible says, when you put your faith upon Christ alone, you are saved. That is sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has done everything for me in Christ. So by this, the Christian life from start to finish is based upon the principle of what? Of utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus. The Christian life, tinan niyo may gila, from start to finish, is based upon the principle of utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus. Ibig sabihin niya, ito, doon lang ba ikay naligtas, you can say the date. You can even tell me what the pastor preached. You can even tell me kung malamig nung linggong yan o mainit. You can tell me ang invitation song na inawit. You can even tell me who talked to you in the altar. And you got saved. And after you got saved, you begin to start to depend upon yourself. Mauunawaan nyo ngayon yan. And this is a revelation to you, even if you're an old Christian. And tonight, I will say this. Many of us are not walking the Christian life. We're Christians. But it is possible for a Christian not to walk the Christian life. Very possible. I'm not putting down a lot of pastors. But just think with me. If many, many Christians don't have this kind of messages given to them in the pulpit, what kind of Christians are we going to have? And I think it's very important for us to realize that. See? So, then you make it. The Christian life, from start to finish, is based upon the principle of utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus. Let me illustrate that. I have a 500 peso bill in my hand. And I'm going to put this 500 peso bill in my Bible. Very simple. Wherever I go with my Bible, the 500 peso bill goes with it. Am I right? Because it is in the Bible, right there. They are one. Wherever this Bible goes, that 500 peso bill goes. They are one. What am I saying? When we became Christians, we are in Christ. He is you. When you got saved, you became a Christian, you're in Christ. Wherever Christ goes, you go. There's not a place in which Christ will go of which you will not go. Because not only is it, understand it, not only is it that Christ is in you, but you are in Christ. Naunawa niyo ba ito? There are many Christians who are always defeated. Defeated Christians. Talunan. Bakit? I'm not saying na, you know, whatever you mean by defeat, but there are many Christians who are always defeated. You know why? Because they try to be Christians. That's why I'm telling it to you right now, makinig kayo sa akin, sabagat ninyo na maaaring marinig pa mensaheng ito sa loob ng maraming taon. There are a lot of Christians who are sincere, but they do not know how to live the Christian walk. Sincerity is not the basis of a successful Christian life. Because you can be sincerely right or sincerely wrong. So there are many Christians who are always defeated, palaging talo bilang Kristiyano, because they try to be Christians. And we can all be guilty of this. Ano ibig sabihin nun? Trying to please God. Trying to serve Him. Trying. Lord, I am trying hard. Lord, I am trying to wake up in the morning to come to church. Lord, I am trying to be in church. Lord, I am trying to be faithful. Lord, I am trying to give. Lord, I am trying to win souls. They do not know how to walk as a Christian. Instead of depending upon God and letting God work in them. Because if you let the Lord work in you, you will not try. You will trust. When you begin trusting, you will get it later on. When you begin trusting, you're going to find out that the Christian life, I don't want to say becomes easier, but the Christian life becomes more rewarding because you learn to trust God, not to try. Subukan yung pilitin ng inyong katawan na gumawa ng isang bagay hindi kaya ng katawan mo. Magkakasakit ka. Same thing with the Christian life. You know? The first lesson then that we must learn is that the work is not initially ours at all, but His. Ang gawain sa ating buhay ay hindi nauuna ng gagaling sa atin, kundi sa Kanya. It is not that we work for God. Take note of this now. It is not that we work for God. Palagi nating sinasabi yan. Di ba? I am working for the Lord. But it is not that we work for God, but that He works in us. He works through us. Just like having the fruits of the Spirit. The moment Christ enters into your life, you have these fruits. You do not need to try to be loving. You will be loving because you have the fruit of love. You do not need to try to be, to have peace. You have peace because you have that peace in Christ. You don't need to try to practice all those because you have them. When you have them, you don't try. Just do them. I will try to be loving. I will try to be faithful. I will try to be kind. I will try to practice self-control. I will try to be joyful. You don't try that. You have them. Just practice it. Do you know what I mean? That's the problem that many, many Christians have today. Especially with the advent of pseudo-Christianity, with the advent of neo-evangelicalism, with the advent of so many so-called Christian churches today that preach the gospel of Christ, but there is no real commitment and deep devotion to the Word of God. That's the main difference we have. Do you know why we're not going to grow like thousands of people there at the Luneta? Do you know why? Like El Shaddai, for example. Do you know why? Because we have a deeper commitment in the Word of God. Now, ako, napakalaking temptation sa akin yung maging ano na lang eh, tele-evangelist. Do you know who I met yesterday afternoon? Do you know who called me up for the last 2 days to meet with me? Benito Araneta. And boy, that was a revelation. One of the wealthiest men in this country revealed to me something I have never known before. You know, you don't have to work for the things that you have already. And the thing is, I'm almost tempted to go out there and start a ministry without any commitment. And the tempting of having all the money without any commitment. Commercializing religion without any commitment at all. We cannot even pay our teachers enough because the church needs to subsidize our school. We have so many ministries we cannot even put our resources to because we lack those resources. See, when you speak of real Christians and real Christianity, you just don't talk about the gospel. You talk about the whole counsel of God. When you speak of having the fruits of the Spirit, you don't have to work for them because they are already yours. Walk is used 8 times in Ephesians. And it means literally to walk around. And it's used here in Ephesians figuratively by the Apostle Paul. To mean what? To deport oneself. To order one's behavior. Now look at that. Alam niyo ibig sabihin ng to order one's behavior? Huh? Christian ethics. Christian disciplines. That's what it is. It is the subject of Christian conduct. That's what it is. We are not just talking about being saved. We're not just talking about enjoying the fact that we're going to heaven. We are talking about Christian conduct in a sinful world. Christian behavior in a worldly environment. It's just not knowing I'm going to heaven, folks. It's living out the Christian life. Hey! Nauunawa niyo ba ito? Huh? So when we mean by walking is the practical outworking of that heavenly position here on earth. If you're going to read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, you're going to see that. Heavenly position because we are in Christ. Look. Paanong sinasabi ron sa Ephesians, nagsisimula sa Ephesians 1 and 2, na nung tayo ay naging Kristiyano, we begin to live in heavenly places. How can you live in heavenly places when you're down here on earth? How can you live in heavenly places? Na napakaraming kasalanan, correct? Napakaraming istorbo, napakaraming worldliness, napakaraming mga bagay ng galing sa diablo, napakaraming mga nakikita sa television, sa newspaper, sa school, everything like this. How can you live in heavenly places while you are here below. You can only live in heavenly places in Christ. Kaya nga, in Christ eh. Because the only way to live in heavenly places is to live it in the position of being in Christ. The test of conduct is in our relationships. Siyempre, hindi mo naman pwedeng i-test yung conduct kung nag-iisa ka lang, di ba? So, anong ginagawa ng mga mongha? Anong ginagawa ng mga yung mongha, yung mga madre, di ba? Oh, yung mga pare, mongho. Anong ginagawa ng mga mongha, saka ng mga mongho? Doon sa France, you know what they do? Ang ginagawa ng mga paring ito, okay, they live up in the mountains of France. The French Alps. Alright? Where there are only walls and the stars above. They live up there without any sight of anything else that they term worldly. They live alone. I forgot how we term it but I preached that one time in this church. Because they say, if you put yourself in a place where you're alone and you do not have any appearance of sin, then you're going to have a good relationship with God. So if you're a Christian and you're like that, how can you witness to others? How can you be a testimony? How can you give the evidence of a Christian life? How can you tell other people they ought to be saved? If that's what the Lord wants us to do. So there is what we call as what? Conduct. And the test of conduct is in our relationships. With what? With other believers among us. Yan, katabi mo, believer yan, di ba? May iniisip ka tungkol sa kanya, di ba? Pag tinabihan mo siya, ano yung iniisip mo tungkol sa kanya? Pag nakatingin sa bag mo, nako, huwag na ako to. Pag lalaki siya, medyo guman yan, nako, bakla ito. I mean, you begin to have already thoughts about him, right? Oh, di ba? Pag nakakita ka ng babaeng member ng church, pero ang lakad eh, batombo ito. Am I right? Things like that. Nakakaroon ka na kagad ng notion about him. And you cannot prevent that. You cannot prevent having notions about the guy. But you can prevent in doing wrong. Alright? The test of conduct. You know what? If I will just look at a person, maybe ganun din sa inyo. The first impression is what? Suspicion. It's not trust. It is so natural for a person, as a person, that when you look at someone else, the first impression is not trust, it is suspicion. And that's normal for a normal person, but not normal for a normal Christian. Okay? Kaya naloloko tayo. Madali. Sapagkat we are more trusting the suspicious. Am I right? Okay. Well, you know, yung kausap ko kahapon, is not even really a Christian. Pero sinasabi niya, siya yung naloko ng Kristiyano. Preacher pa. Nakakalungkot, di ba? Okay, now look. The test of conduct is in our relationships with, number one, other believers. Yung katabi mo. Number two, with neighbors. Kapitbahay mo. When I was young, I wanted to really define why. Bakit yung kapitbahay mo tinawag na neighbors? Because when they see you, they neigh at you most of the time. Like horses. And nakita ka ng neighbor mo? Neigh. Thirdly, ito. The test of conduct in our relationship with our wives, our husbands. I've heard some wives say, Alam mo, mabuti pang magkalayo kami ng asawa ko. Ooh, that's a very dangerous life, folks. Masabuti bang hindi ko nakikita ang asawa ko, mas mamahalin ko siya. Luko-luko. Ano mo ibig sabihin nung? May problema yon. May problema yon sa relationship. At ang problema sa relationship is what? Conduct. Then, the test of conduct in our relationship among children and among parents. I don't want to dwell on psychology here, on child psychology, but I've learned enough from the Word of God to find out that there's a big effect in the upbringing of those kids on their attitudes in life. If you bring up those children in envy, they'll always be suspicious all their lives. I mean, napakalaki ng epekto ng upbringing ng mga bata sa tahanan sa kanilang attitude sa buhay. At dadalhin ng mga anak yan basta lang hiwalay na. Sana matuto kayo rito, di ba? Na huwag yung i-insist yung kinagisnan nyo. Huwag nyo i-insist na itong kinagisnan ko, ito, si pinakitan lolo. Hindi yun eh. Kung mali yung kinagisnan mo, tama ito, itong sundan mo. Hindi pinag-uusapan ito kung tama ako eh. Di ba? Walang kwenta yung abante. Tanggalin nyo yung abante. Gago rin yung abante niyan, di ba? Oh. Pero ito ang tama eh. Kung tama ito, huwag mo nang i-insist pa na tama yung pinanggalingan mo. Then what else? The test of conduct is in our relationships with what? Between employers and employees. And that is where the lot of intrigue come, isn't it? These relationships are dealt with in a most practical way in the Bible. What do we find in the Word of God? Okay? Babagitan ko sa inyo sinabi ng Bible. Okay? Walk with long suffering. Kaya niyo ba yan? Forbearing one another. Ano yung forbear? You don't only forgive, you forbear. Ibig sabihin, pag pinatawad mo na ito, expect mo na magkakamali pa ito. You know what I mean? So you forbear. Nagpapasalamat ako mga kapatid, andun yung forbearance sa Bible. Hindi lang forgiveness. Sapagkat kung forgiveness lang at walang forbearance, hindi nyo ako matitiis. Am I right? Ha? Hindi ko rin kayo matitiis. Hindi ko matitiis eh. Lalo kayo. Di ba? Doon pumapasok yung forbearance. So, magpasalamat tayo, merong forgiveness at merong forbearance. Oo. Na kapag nagpapatawad tayo, ay itong taon to ay palagi nilang mali, at least matitiis mo siya sapagkat may forbearance. Hindi ka na maaaring ma-offend. Ba't di ka na-offend? Makapal na mukha mo eh. Walk with long-suffering, forbearing one another, putting away falsehood. Yan ang sabi ng Bible, ha? Yan ang sinasabi sa atin. Speak ye the truth, each one with another, and his neighbor. Gusto kong tanungin itong mga batang ito. Mga bata, kayong mga elementary, yung mga elementary, saka high school, tumayo. Elementary, saka high school, tumayo. Ayan, yan. Okay. Good. Okay. Yung mga lola, umupo na. Alam ko, nanggaling kayo sa elementary. Elementary, saka high school. Tumayo kayo sa akin. Nagsisinungaling ba kayo? Ha? Ano yung sabi? Hindi raw eh. Kita mo? Sinungaling na siya kagad, di ba? Hindi. Lahat ba ng sinasabi nyo sa inyong nanay, totoo? O, umaamin na yung mga anak nyo. Madali pa na paamin itong mga to eh. Ngayon lang, tinan nyo, kaya, mga magulang, paano yung mga anak nyo? Okay? So, number one, nagisinungaling kayo. Tama? Number two,
Hindi lahat ng sinasabi niyo sa mga magulang niyo totoo, correct? Okay. May mga pagkakataon ba nag-cheat kayo sa school? O ngayon, be honest, children. Kinaga, sino sa inyo sa buong araw na ito hindi nagsinungaling? Ngayong araw. Taas ang kamay. Parents, sino nyo ha? Oh. May iniwala ako. Pag sino sa inyo, mga bata, buong lapag-gising nyo sa umaga hanggang ngayon, hindi kayo nagsinungaling ngayong araw na ito? Ngayong araw na ito. Taas ang kamay. O, mga magulang. Paluin nyo pag-uwi ng bahay. Maupo na kayo. Now, folks, these are children. Bakit ko ginamit ang mga bata? Bakit ko ginamit yung mga bata? Sapagkat itong mga batang ito, mas inosente kaya sa atin. Kung itong mga batang ito, ha? Eh, mga sinungaling na. Eh, paano pa kaya tayo? Be ye angry and sin not. Pwede kang magalit, pero huwag kang makakasala pag nagalit ka. Let all bitterness be put away from you. Tanggalin niyo lahat ang... Ano pa yung bitterness sa wikang Tagalog? Ha? Ang kapaitan. Ano bang... Paano maunawaan yung kapaitan? Paano? Ha? Let all bitterness be put away from you. Huwag kayong kakain ng mga mapait na pagkain. Yan yung kumakain ng palaya. Anong ibig sabihin nun? Yung huwag mong ipagpapatuloy ang galit sa puso mo, pag nakita mo siya, you hate him. Gumawa sa akin ng masama yan. Hindi ko makakalimutan yan. Then what? Be kind. Forgive each other. Subjecting yourselves to one another. Provoke not. Be obedient. Forbear threatening. Sa lahat ng mga nabanggit ko, have we done that? If many of those things, folks, you cannot even do, how can you say, I'm walking as a Christian? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48, and see the perfection of the Father. You have heard that had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist evil, not evil. Resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Can I try that tonight? Meron mga tao, ang bilis ng kamay niyan. Ako, mabilis din ng kamay ko eh. Meron ako alam na tao, pag sinabing, sasampalin kita, nakadalawa na siya eh. Alright? Sino man ang sasampal sa'yo dito, bigyan mo yung kabila. Ito pa oh. Meron akong kilala, sinampal siya, pak! Binigyan niya yung kabila. Isinampal ulit siya, pak! Nung sinampal ulit sa kabila, sinuntok niya na. Bakit? Sabi ko, ba't mo ginawa yan? Kasi wala na akong ibibigay na chik eh. If any man will sue thee, look, if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Oh. Just Domingo, ay mga abogado, ganyan. Kung demanda ka, at kinuha sa'yo yung overcoat mo, bigyan yung jacket mo. Now, that's the Christian walk. Verse 41. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Sino man ang pipilit sa'yo na tumakbo ng isang milya, ah, eh, samaan mo siya. ang 2 milya. Tulad ng ginagawa ng mga staff sa akin, napipilitan na sila ay sumama mag-walking. Eh hindi ako umihinto na 1 oras. Sinasamahan nila ako. They know how to live the Christian walk. Okay? Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Di ba? Yung umiram ng pera, pinahiram mo, hindi nagbayad. Mahirap to eh. Alam niya na may utang siya sa'yo, di ba? Kung kailangan mo pa, punta ka lang dito. Di ba? Okay. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Ay, mahirap to, di ba? Oh. Mahirap na nga mahalin yung kapitbahay mo eh. Pati kaaway mo, mamahalin mo pa. Am I right? Kaya nga dun sa Cebu, may natanong sa akin, Pastor, paano yan pag hindi ko na mahal yung asawa ko? Anong gagawin ko? Sabi ko, eto, makinig kayo ha, kayo may mga asawa dyan na pagod na kayo sa mga asawa nyo. Ito ang sagot ko. Paano, Pastor, kung hindi ko na mahal yung asawa ko, anong gagawin ko? Well, kung hindi mo siya kung hindi mo na kayang mahalin ang asawa mo, na asawa mo, mahalin mo siya bilang kabarid mo. Di ba? Brother in Christ, sister in Christ mo yan eh. Di ba? Mahalin mo yan bilang kabarid mo. Ngayon, kung hindi mo na kaya mahalin niya bilang kabarid mo, mahalin mo bilang kaibigan mo. Tama ako? Ngayon, kung hindi mo kaya mahalin niya bilang kaibigan mo, mahalin mo yan bilang kaaway mo. Wala ka magagawa. Pag-ibig pa rin yan eh. Am I right? So, tell him, ma, wife, honey, please. You know, I don't love you as my wife anymore. But, I love you as my sister in Christ. But ma, it's hard to, you know, you're a constant nagger. Ngayon lang makakaganti. But I cannot love you anymore as my sister in Christ. I will love you as my friend. But ma, you abuse me as your friend. You know? Kanina, bumili tayo ng ano, bigla mo sinama yung binili mo, di naman kasama yon. You know? But ma, I want to assure you, I still love you as my enemy. Wala kang magagawa kundi magmahal eh. Amen? That's the Christian conduct. That's the Christian walk. And you tell that to your wife tonight. I told my wife already. So bless them that curse you. Limbawa, may kang kaaway dyan. Sinigawan ka. Benny! Ano mo? Anong sayo mo? Kung ina mo! Anong sagot ni Benny Abante? Bok! Anong sagot mo? Bless you. God bless you. Can you do that? Do good to them that hate you. He hates you. You know, it's so hard in my own part as a leader. And I am a judge as the leader of many evangelicals today. It is so hard when you do not want to meet someone that you have wronged you a lot. You know, once in a while, you ought to humble yourself down and show them you're more mature than those people. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Oh yes, Lord, I pray for them. What do you pray for? Panginoon, patayin nyo na itong mga taong ito, nilatat mo buhay itong mga ito. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, look at this, I'd like to understand this. If you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Kung iniibig mo lang yung umiibig sa'yo, anong reward niyan sa'yo? Wala. Kaya alam niyo, napakalaki ng reward ko because I love my wife. May mga tumawa, may nakaunawa rin sa sinabi ko. Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect. Look at this. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, who is in heaven, is perfect. Now, the Lord is not demanding that on earth that you be perfect like the Father in heaven. But God is just telling you, you're a Christian, you're saved, you're growing in the Lord, then you must grow in maturity. And you know, we say, this is impossible, Pastor, napaka-imposible po nito. Ikaw lang ba nang sasabi niya? Pati ako eh. Why? Because you felt you have been wrong. Am I right? I mean, how many of you here, nobody has ever wronged you in your life? Wala nakagawa ng mali sa inyo sa buong buhay niyo. You cannot say that, isn't it? You felt you have been wrong. Perhaps seriously wrong, and you just cannot forgive. You were in the right, and he was wrong. And you can point out those wrong, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you have wronged me so many times. To love him is ideal, but impossible, isn't it? I should love him. Dapat mahalin ko siya. Yan ang ideal. Yan ang pinaka-biblical dyan. Pero, Lord, please allow me. I cannot do that. Then the Lord says, I saved you. I love you even if you're not loving. Then how can you say that you're a Christian if you cannot even love those who have wronged you? Again, we go to the 500 peso bill in the Bible. You see, the natural man has worked out his own standards of right and wrong, justice and injustice. We have seen this for many months in the impeachment proceeding, in government, we have seen this. In Congress, it was a very personal an emotional thing for us to debate and talk about impeachment. It's become too personal for the opposition, too personal for us. That not only have we fought for or against the president, but we have fought for and against ourselves. That there is now in Congress a great divide. Those in the opposition are here. They talk among themselves. Those of the majority are separate. And by the grace of God, I stand, even if I am against the opposition's wish. I stand right in the middle in which the opposition says, I believe what you've done. Never spoke against the opposition. Never said things against them. And you know how I was able to do it? Because of the Lord. The natural man has worked out his own standards of right and wrong, justice and injustice, and strives to live by them. But as Christians, listen now, as Christians, we do not begin from the matter of ethical right and wrong. We begin from Him. And from what He says. And from what is Christ like. Nothing has done greater damage to our Christian testimony than trying to be right and demanding that right from others. And that's what the rallyists are doing now. They demand that right from others, even abusing the right given to them. In other words, we cannot accept being aggravated and prejudiced. When we feel we are on the right, when we feel we are right and they're wrong, what do? We hit back. And we hit back hard. When we are insulted, what do? We retaliate because we are insulted. But that is not our standard. Our standard is one of what? Cross bearing. If you are my disciple, then you have to bear the cross. You would ask me, is it right for someone to strike my cheek or to hit me right here? Of course not. But the question is, do you only want to be right? Do you only want to demand for your right? The principle of cross-bearing is our principle of conduct. The only way for Christians to conduct themselves in a very cruel and tyrannical world. And the only way for Christians to conduct themselves in a very partial and unfair world is to have the principle of cross-bearing. I bear the cross. With Christ, it is a question of grace. It is not a question of right or wrong. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, and be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And by the grace of God, when I apply discipline to any one of you, I do not apply discipline because you have wronged me. I apply discipline because I want you to do what's right. It's not because you have wronged me. Parents, when we paddle our children, kapag ating pinapalo ang ating mga anak, hindi sa pagkasalan nagkamali sa atin, kundi nais nating i-correct ang ating pagkakamali sa harapan ng Diyos. That's why I maintain the principle that when you paddle your own children, do not punish them in anger. Punish them in love. It means this, you punish them to correct. You do not punish them to what? Because you hate them. You don't punish them to what? Because you want to avenge yourself. Right and wrong is the principle of the Gentiles and the tax gatherers. Yan ang prinsipyo ng mga hintil. Yan ang mga prinsipyo ng mga tax gatherers. Yan ang mga prinsipyo ng mga abogado. Yan ang mga prinsipyo ng gusto mag-demand ng kanilang karapatan. Right and wrong is the principle of the Gentiles and the tax gatherers and the unsaved people. But my life is to be governed by the principle of the cross and of the perfection of the Father. Watchman Nee gave a story, a true story, of two farmers. The one farmer is not saved, the other farmer is a Christian. Itong farmer na hindi Kristiyano, ang kanyang farm doon on top of a hill sa China. Itong farmer na Kristiyano, kanyang farm dito sa Patag. There's no water. There's no irrigation. So ang ginagawa ng farmer na Kristiyano, yung kanyang farm doon sa hill naging Kristiyano, siya ay nagdadala ng tubig mula doon sa baba. He would carry it personally up the hill to water the farm. No irrigation. Kaya ito, buong araw na yan, itong Christian farmer na ito, he would take his animal and they would carry water from downhill to uphill and water the whole farm the whole day. In the evening, the unsaved farmer down there made a ditch and released the ditch so that the water of the Christian farmer would go down to his farm. The next day, magigising yung farmer na Kristiyano, makikita niya yung kanyang farm walang tubig. And he was wondering why. So, hindi niya inalala, he again got his animal and he began to carry water up the hill. It was a back-breaking work to carry water up there and water the whole farm again. In the evening, the unsafe farmer would again open that ditch that he made and the water would go down. Water his farm. The next day, he looked at his farm, there's no water. And he looked at the farm of the unsafe farmer, full of water. And then the third day, he began to put water again to his farm. In the evening, he watched the farm. And lo and behold, he saw that unsafe farmer open that ditch so the water would go down his farm. He got so angry. For 3 days, it was a back-breaking job, a hard job, you know, carrying that water up the hill. And this farmer is too easy for him. And he has done it many times. You know what this Christian farmer did was go to the pastor. Sinabi niya sa kanyang pastor, ang nangyari. Sabi niya, anong gagawin ko? Pwede kong i-demanda ito? Pwede kong, I want to assert my right. He should not in any way transgress my right. I have the right to live. I have the right to do what I want to do. And the pastor said, yes, you have the right. And I will never, never go against your right. Then the pastor said, you go home tonight and you pray and ask yourself this question. Should I only demand my right or should I go beyond my right? He went home that night. Emotionally, he was down because he did not find an answer from his pastor. He went home and he prayed and said, Lord, what is the meaning of what my pastor said? Why? Have I done wrong? I have not done wrong. I've done right. And this farmer has been abusing me and stealing my water. What can I do more? I should avenge myself. And that night, God began to reveal something to him. And God began to impress upon his own mind, don't assert your right. You're a Christian. Do beyond what is right. The next day when he woke up, he began to work again, back-breaking job of putting water up the hill. When he finished that, he went down to the river and began to put water on the unsafe farmer's farm. Did it for 2 days. Went to the river, put water on his farm, and he began to put water on the unsafe farmer's farm. And there was the unsafe farmer looking, ashamed of what he did. You know what happened? That farmer went to his church that Sunday, and got saved. It's all because this Christian did not assert what is right. He did something beyond his right. You know what's that? That's grace. That's what God did for you and me. Don't stand on your right. So the Bible tells us if a man compels you to go 1 mile, go with him the second. But after the second mile, what? The second mile is just typical of the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh and the eighth and the ninth and the tenth. Beyond what is right. The principle is that of conformity to Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did not die on the cross to defend our rights. It was grace that took Him there. One day, the apostles went to Christ Apparently, they're upset, disgusted, galit, asar, offended. At sinabi ng apostles sa Panginoon, Panginoon, ilang beses ba kami dapat magpatawad sa isang kapatid? Ang sabi ng Panginoon sa kanya, 70 times 7. 70 times 7 means 490 times you ought to forgive your brother. 490 times na kapag yung kapatid mo nagkasala lang 490 times, you ought to forgive him 490 times every day. Araw-araw. Wala akong nakikitang kapatid na magkakasala ng 490 times. And by the grace of God, ginagawa ko sa inyo yan araw-araw. Lalo na kayong mga men, lalo na kayong mga professional dito. Nagpapatawad ako araw-araw ng so many times. Pero hindi yung nakikita ito. You do not realize I'm going beyond what is right. Because if I will assert my right, I will quit the ministry. If I will assert my right, I would put down my Bible and close it down and say, I quit. No. I have been going beyond what is right. To many of you. I'm not saying I am more than a Christian to many of you. What I'm saying is this. I have learned so much in my more than 45 years of being a Christian. I've learned so much. I've learned so much from my sufferings. I've learned so much from my trials. I've learned so much from my pain. And I'm telling it to you right now, I have experienced so much pain in my body that it's hard. But many of you don't understand that. Many of you don't understand that perhaps some of this pain is because of what I have done wrong, but many of this pain is because of what I have done right. We have to remind ourselves that we are not often right. Are we? Kinakailangan nat ating alalahanin na hindi tayo palaging tama. Kahit kailan hindi ko sinabi sa aking sarili palagi akong tama. We fail. And it's always good to learn from our failures. I fail so many times. And I want to learn from my failures. I fail. You know, you can fail in every facet of life. Whatever it might be, you fail. And God wants us to learn from them. God does not want us to go down deep in the quagmire of emotions and say, I am defeated and I will be. God wants us to learn from the failures of life and rise up from that ashes and be stronger in Christ Jesus. To be ready to confess and willing to go beyond what is necessary in doing so. Consider our faith promise giving. Our faith promise is not the tithe. It is giving beyond what is right. It's giving beyond what is legal to give. It's more than our tithes. It's more than our offerings. But we give it. I give the missions. I give my offerings. Why? Not because I would like to appear like I'm the one giving. No. But because God has taught me to give beyond what is right. To make it a privilege to have the ministry of giving. Today we are faced with a challenge. Matthew chapter 5 sets a standard we feel is impossibly high. And we cannot cope up with a standard. Then you go back again for where we began in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Lord has saved us and given us a life greater than any kind of a life. The most privileged life of a person is to know Christ as his own Savior. We are very fortunate and being blessed. Don't speak about wealth and don't speak about riches and don't speak about fame. Just speak about what Christ has done for you. You are the most privileged people in the whole world. The Christian secret is his rest in Christ. we sit forever with Christ, we may walk continually before men. We sit forever with Christ. We rest in Christ. We put our faith in Christ. We just trust the Lord each day. And that trust must be deeper. And that faith must increase. When we do that, then you can walk continually before men and be a witness and be a testimony that Christ is indeed the Christ that changed my life. Resting is also abiding in Christ. Because we have come to a place of rest or dependence in Christ. As a result, our walking is not based on our efforts, but on God's working mightily in us. And that's where lies the secret of our inward strength. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 and 13 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And look at this. "You have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. I believe in you these next three weeks. And I think if you're a true Christian, you will show your obedience to God much more when I'm not there. Did you hear me? God is working it in. We must work it out. That is the secret. Because if God is not working in our lives, then there's nothing to work out. Unless we let God work it in, it is useless for us to try to work it out. Let me again remind you of the first illustration that I gave you on the farmer. Perhaps tonight, there's a certain brother whom you find very trying and with whom you are constantly getting into difficulty. Whenever you meet him, he says or does something calculated to arouse resentment in you. And this troubles you. It upsets you. And you say, "I am a Christian and I ought to love him." But what does Ephesians 4:31 says? "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." That's too hard. Oh yes. When we do it in the flesh, it is too hard. And we can never do it. But although I cannot do it in the flesh, I am glad God can do it through me and in me. Sometimes we are accustomed to look at holiness as a virtue, upon humility as grace, upon love as a gift to be sought from God. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. But the Christ of God is Himself everything that we shall ever need. He Himself is revealed as the answer in us to all that God demands. That's why 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Jesus Christ is a package full of gifts. It's a package full of character. The operation of His life in us is, in a true sense, spontaneous. It is without efforts of ours. The all-important rule is not to try, but to trust. Trust God more. Not to try in your flesh. Let me give you a warning. Let me give you something you ought to think about. Too many of us are caught acting as Christians. The Christian life becomes a pretense. We live a spiritual life. We talk a spiritual language. We adopt spiritual attitudes. But we are doing the whole thing ourselves. But you see, our life is the life of Christ, mediated in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the law of that life is spontaneous. There are times in my life I'm so surprised that I'm able to do something of which in my own flesh I cannot do. You know why? It's the Holy Spirit that does that through you. May mga pagkakataon, may mga nagagawa ako na hindi ko kayang gawin sa akin sarili. At nagugulat ako, nagagawa ko yan. Bakit ko yan nagawa? Sapagkat gumagawa sa akin na Banal na Espiritu. We need to learn the principle of the cross. That our standard is not now on the old, but on the new nature. Ang standard natin hindi doon sa makalumang paraan, sa mga tradisyon na ating pinagmulan, sa mga standards natin natutunan noong araw, kundi ang ating standard ngayon ay ang new nature na binigay ng Panginoon sa atin. Hindi ba? Naniniwala tayo sa sabi ng Bible, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's not trying to defend our rights. But in everything that we do it because of the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In Ephesians chapter 5, we find those words, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Here we find the idea of time and the difference between wisdom and foolishness. To walk means to proceed. Not just to conduct one's behavior, but to walk is to proceed. To walk is to follow on. To walk is to move on. In Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, listen here. If you are wise, you will seek the fullness of Christ sooner. If you are foolish, you will put it off later. Get clear about the will of God. Do you know God's will in your life? Get clear about the will of God. If you believe that God is an unchanging God, with an unchanging will, then be wise. Redeem the time. You should realize that God created the world in time, that Jesus died in due time, that He saved us in time, and that we are saved on time, and that we serve God in limitation of time. God's purpose for us is bound up with the fullness of time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in Him. Apostle Paul saw that. Nakita yan ni Apostle Paul. Anong ginawa ni Apostle Paul? He walked. But he did not only walk. He ran. He ran. Not as beating the air. He ran for the glory of God. He did not only walk, he ran. And by the grace of God, I have been running for more than 38 years. I've been walking. And there are times when I walk, I slip. There are times when I walk, I would go down. There are times when I walk, I would fall. And God would raise me up and God would lift me up. And I don't stop walking, folks. I don't stop walking, I run. I would like to run the race until God tells me, you're going home, my son. I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, I press toward the mark. for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The time is so short now. There is such a need for urgency. The Lord Jesus Christ, before He left this world, says, "Occupy till I come." Every Christian now ought to be counted. And every Christian right now ought to consider the world isn't getting any better. If there is a time for us to now be frontliners in the war, it must be this time, because the days are evil. So stand. Every head be bowed, every eye be closed. You can tell everyone, "I'm a Christian." But unless that Christian walk is evident, then people will never realize you're a Christian. God never gave us any instruction that would be too hard for us to do. God gave us all the instructions, and it can be done, but it cannot be done in the flesh. It cannot be done by trying, but it can be done by trusting. It can be done by resting in Christ. It can be done by being fully aware that we are serving and believing in a sovereign, unchangeable God who has revealed to us His will. I don't know how you understood this message, but I'm leaving that to you. I cannot force you to do what the Bible says. But this is what I believe in. If you are a true believer in Christ Jesus, then this will be your conduct, and this will be your walk. That's the only way for people to see we're different. Dito nakikita ng mga tao ang pagkakaiba natin. Ang pagkakaiba ng quality ng ating buhay.